Hey, this is Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
What's up, everybody? We are back with Whiskey and Wires. If this is your first time, I'm Tyler.
This is Ethan.
This is Adrian.
Oh, Adrian, you're back. Yeah, oh, hello.
It's not Ed, no.
Where you been gallivanting all over the place?
You know, I've been in a lot of cool places. So I'm sure we'll talk about it, but was at a trade show in Nashville, about to buy some whiskey and go to some distilleries.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you go to Nashville? Just a, what kind of trade show?
IT trade show.
Oh, of course, yeah, it's an IT trade show. Yeah. No, we're looking for new pet sitters, and they have a really cool opportunity out in Nashville, so that's why you went out there. You just pick all the IT places that are in cool cities.
Did I have to go? No.
Yeah, but you went.
Nashville, I made it.
I shall attend. Oh, my gosh. And we are excited to have last show's guest back. Say hello.
Hello. Why do you have this is Dr. Peter Vandy Walker, by the way. I'm honored to be here again. You guys, this is amazing.
We had such a good time, and you did such a great job.
Well, thank you.
And we had to have you back.
And we got at least one or two repeat listeners after we talked about your collection of teeth you keep in the car. I'm sure that just did it for so many people that we could not have you.
The comments. It's creepy.
That's rule number one of any kind of internet thing. You don't read the comments.
No.
Never read the comments.
Post and ghost, as Joe Rogan says. Post and ghost. Get out of here. No. But last time, so when we left off, we had started going down the rabbit hole of entertainment. What do you guys do? And so, like we were talking about, like, I think it'd be awesome to circle back, because I'm actually super curious. Like I was saying before, I think there's a connotation of people in the MSP field, the IT, the whatever, that they just sit in their dark cave and play on computers, which could be true. We shall find out. I don't know. Is it true?
It can be.
You're saying that like creepy.
That's a yes.
There's definitely the you know, people who like computers generally started liking them because they enjoyed the enjoyable things on them and got good at using them.
Yeah.
So, you know, computer gamers and stuff like that. And there's always that joke. There's a comic page that goes around of the guy at work where Monday through Friday, every day, he gets a little sadder and sadder in front of his computer. And then Saturday hits and he's in front of his computer at home, just happy as a clam. Yep. So there's definitely that archetype of, you know, people who like computers.
Yeah. I don't play online that much. I mean, I know it is what I do for a living, but I think it's affected my eyesight. I can't even imagine playing for hours upon hours.
Well, it's
staring at a screen and visually having to compute everything. That's
It is very common for IT folks to need glasses.
Yeah.
I've been lucky so far. I actually had an astigmatism as a kid, and I'm in that stage of my life where the eyes are kind of correcting for it.
Really?
And as I get older, they're going to wear out and I'm going to get it back. So I'm kind of just waiting for that and thinking about getting like the blue light filter glasses for the meantime to help with just day-to-day work. But
well, if anybody makes fun of your nystigmatism, you should tell them that they need to stop that, because it's not kind.
Right. I will certainly do so.
I have 15/20 vision.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of my greatest accomplishments.
That's better than 20/20, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I was going to say, I had that in the military, and then it has slowly degraded, and I must be like, what am I now? 20 bottle cap? Is that even a,
is that a got your Coke bottle
a metric? Okay, but before we get going, as customary and always, we've got some tasty treats up in here.
Oh yeah.
So Adrian, tell us what we sip it on.
Yeah,
that's French for what we drink.
I actually kind of forgot what particular one I brought.
He's had so much of it he can't remember.
I'm
highly professional here. It's a Woodford Reserve, double oaked, but it's a single barrel pick from Corona Cigar Company, which is where I went in Orlando for my last trade show, where they held it, because it kind of changed cities every year. So
I'm starting to not believe you go to trade shows.
I
didn't have anything.
I have a lot of free time, and then you know, vendors, you know how they are. They'll HP or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have a gig or they'll go out there.
I got to tell you, I've talked to a couple people, right? Whiskey comes up and all that, especially with my whole story. They're like, well, can you have any more? Anyways, last show we had, I just went blank and I said it. Was it Larceny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Larceny. Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
Dude, whatever Ed brought, I don't remember single barrel, freaking single barrel, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it has got to be to date in my memory the smoothest, richest. Was it bourbon? I forget. Bourbon I've ever had.
Yeah. I think it was the unfiltered single barrel larceny is the special one that Ed has. He brought it last night.
Like to the point of it didn't even burn. There was zero.
Yeah.
I mean, there was more in the control burn.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I might have lost a couple things in my incident, like taste buds, maybe. I don't know. That's not connected to your heart, but you never know. It's all connected.
Well, you know, okay. So, Dr. Vanderwalker.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So I heard, I was reading that over time, if you drink a lot of wine, like sommeliers or like these whiskey people or whiskey tasters, over time, they build like a protective or like a layer over their tongue that they're able to like acclimate or don't need to acclimate for high alcohol spirits. There's like a whole article about it on Whiskey Advocate.
In theory, that makes a lot of sense because you are consistently introducing a
poison.
like a poison, a negative stimulant, right, to the skin. And so in order for, you know, it's like, oh, we need to make like a callus on your foot.
I was just thinking, like your hand, if you get calluses and your feet and everything, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, it makes total sense though. Right?
But no, I have not done any research. I do not know the literature. Please do not take my word for it.
With that in mind, one question did come up based on your verbiage that you chose to use. Does your tongue count as skin?
Is it on a muscle?
Because if your tongue counts as skin, I'm going to like it a lot less than I did 5 seconds ago.
Ew. That's a great point.
It just feels weird.
Well, it's a muscle because when you shoot an animal, you can eat the tongue, which is a muscle. So I imagine there's people in the earth that will eat the tongue.
It's a, you know, the tongue is a muscle, but there is a fine epithelial layer.
All right.
You know, it's just like, you know, everything else.
It's a muscle skin.
Right. So does that make your teeth? Does that make your teeth an exoskeleton?
Like, Jamie, look it up.
No, it does not.
What does that make your teeth?
A protective layer.
Yeah, a tooth is not a bone, is it?
No, it's not. No.
It's its own separate thing.
Its own thing.
What is it again?
It's a tooth.
No.
The enamel is made out of mainly hydroxyapatite, and then there's
yummy.
It's a crystal. It's a crystalline surface. You know, it's 99% inorganic, which is why, you know, the bacteria. We're gonna get into dentistry. You want to get into dentistry?
No,
you don't want to get into dentistry.
Now that I think about it,
you don't want to.
I can get a quick.
Yeah, I don't think so.
What is that thing in your? It's a tooth.
Oh. Yeah, that's about the extent of it.
Maybe I am brain dead.
No. I gotta admit, the dentist is one of the least favorite things I've ever. I avoid it so much.
Me too.
But it's the sound. It's the sound. It's also like it's the blood and the needles.
Why do you think I feel so honored to be a part of something? I go home and cry all the time.
No one likes me.
I love getting ripped apart for 30 minutes. 40 minutes.
Well, maybe if you would brush and floss a little bit more often.
It wouldn't be an issue. Okay, so what are we starting out with?
Yeah, so it's Double Oaked. It's a Corona Cigar Company pick. Really cool spot over in Orlando. They also have a couple spots in Tampa. But you know what's kind of cool over there? It's like every state but California, you could go to a cigar bar and they'll have a full bar. Like you can get good old fashions. Yeah. They have Clear Eyes. You know, they have like 2,000 bottles of whiskey or
good
rum.
Stuff.
Yeah, and then you can pick your cigars, kind of just go over there and watch some games and, you know.
That's why everybody's moving to Florida.
Exactly.
The cigar bars.
Yeah, Florida, Texas.
Oh my gosh, I'm just realizing that. So, I mean, Woodford's not from Orlando, though.
No, it's from Kentucky.
I was going to say, you got this.
Yeah, so what you do is like, you know, usually people in the industry are like bars or restaurants. They're able to, with their vendors, go
get the goodies
and go there and pick their own barrel. Or what they could do too is they'll, you know, get sent samples and they can pick.
Got it. And what's that other one? I was going to say, do you want another one?
No, I'm good right now.
Can I get one?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, look at it. I'm back here. I'm working. Keep talking.
But yeah, I mean, Woodford Reserve, it's pretty well-known brand.
Yeah.
The single barrel picks are fun.
Yeah. Woodford Reserve is kind of my go-to as far as, you know, the base layer whiskey. If I don't want something super fancy or barrel proof, anything like that, Woodford's usually my go-to. It's a very special place in my heart.
Yeah, man. Woodford Old Fashions. Anytime, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite combos.
What's the other one?
The other one, okay, this one's kind of fun. So the other one is going to be a Texas bird.
Ooh. Oh, the Garrison Brothers. I don't think I
can. You tell by the giant star?
Yeah, but I just would have thought it would be a cool design. I didn't associate it with Texas.
Yeah, so
what's a Balshamaria? Balshamaria? Balm?
You know, I'm glad you said it first, because I didn't want to pronounce it because I didn't know.
if you say it silly first, then I sound less silly.
Balma, was that O?
Balmosha?
Balmosha.
Balmosha.
Balma. It's like a mimosa, but a balmosha.
Right. Corn variety, food grade, number one from South Texas, bottle number 31721. Release date was 25 page and up. Wow, did you get this in?
No, actually, that was a wedding gift from one of my cousins.
Really? Oh, they're taking a little play off the maker's mark.
You opened up and brought one of your wedding gifts? Wow, dude.
That's how special
you
are.
Wow.
I love it. So this first one, though, is the Woodford, right?
Correct, yeah.
All right. There we go. Ching chang.
Hey, wait. There's no control burn. What's up with that?
Oh, I did.
Sip it slow.
Sip it slow.
Callie had a pretty good control.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Oaky.
Yeah, I did get that. Usually I don't say oaky, but I do. So I do taste the oak.
I called this one.
Mm. Very smooth.
Your last cocktail, like if you have a Manhattan with this, excellent.
Really?
Really good, yeah.
I could taste that. I could see that, yeah. But old fashioned would be good.
It's a finisher bourbon. It's a finisher, cocktail kind of.
Gosh, I just had a ribeye to go with that. Just, but can you just, I mean, you could like mentally. And hey, after my thing, I'll tell you what, the things you think are important, you're like, why was I wasting time? The things that you never really paid attention to are so bright. It's the most weird, incredible thing.
Give us an example.
I could see a ribeye. Not that it's like, oh, that's really good. It's just like to think you might have never had one again.
Right.
It's just things are so, you know, like the fog this morning.
Right, right.
The weirdest things will trigger. It's like, wow.
Hey, did you know, I read this on Imgur, there is like a certain percentage of the population that cannot visualize in their mind. They cannot picture
anything.
And no, like maybe they see words,
yeah,
but like if I say, hey, picture a horse, and they'd be like, I know what a horse is, I've seen a horse, but I can't see it in my mind.
Really?
Yeah,
it's the same thing when it comes to reading. There's, you know,
like the internal monologue, right?
Yeah.
Some people don't have that.
People either have an internal monologue where they see the words as it goes, or they see it played out like a story. Like when they read a lot, it's like they're not even turning the pages, they're just watching a story. And that's then there's so people who can't have any internal monologue. And there's a direct link between people who enjoy reading and people who have that
they don't have
higher visualization. There's been a lot more studies into it now that, you know, dyslexia, ADHD, a lot of, you know, those more childhood developmental, very important things are being treated more seriously.
Right.
It's a lot more studies into why kids don't like reading and stuff. And that's one of the things that's come up.
Is that they can't picture.
Yeah, they don't enjoy it because to them it's just words on a page and it's hard to visualize.
I think social media and video short form has absolutely screwed our brains.
I think that that will I think that will absolutely contribute to it more.
Yep.
I think that there's probably something innate about it, but even it's definitely screwing some of the kids out of enjoying it or even trying it because they're so used to the other thing.
Yeah.
So I have six kids. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I
think I remember you saying that.
Yeah. Not Mormon, not Catholic. You know, I got to throw that out there because everything's like, oh, you're tall, you're white, you're a dentist. You must be Mormon.
What nationality are you, rabbit?
My kids love reading.
That's good.
But it's because I have absolutely instilled upon them like, hey, this is, you got to be reading.
Yeah.
This is important.
Yeah. I need to do a better job about that.
What, you reading? What about you? You read?
I do on occasion. I do love books and learning, but I swear I'm an audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And here's the thing. And it's not what I retain more. I think because over time, it takes me so long. You can give me a 100-page book, it might take me 6 months. Because I don't read fast and then retain. I go, what did I just read? I literally chunks at a time. But yet, if I'm walking, driving, audiobook, I'll be like, that's really good. And I'll keep going. I don't know why or how or whatever.
Yeah, I've got about a 25-minute commute one way.
Yeah.
And so I'm audiobook.
Yeah.
And I've listened to So speaking of, you know, things that I enjoy my time,
right into the subject of today.
That was a segue.
It's almost like it was planned.
I have really ravenously gone through a number of audiobooks, like the Hannibal Lecter series, which is amazing.
The original ones, right? The ones.
Yeah. Red Dragon and then Silence of the Lambs and.
So you're reading Hannibal fiction. You're reading like books, not like how to motivate yourself
No.
I read like business.
That's why I probably wouldn't be that great of a dentist business guy because I'm like heading the clouds. Actually, now I am listening to a audiobook by the former head editor of the the Washington Post. I think it's Convergence of Power. And it is absolutely fascinating. Really? And I'm like, I think I would really get into like nonfiction, stuff I don't know much about.
I do too.
There's very specific nonfiction that's interested me through my life that I've read and I've just eaten up. But the vast majority of my reading is for pleasure, it's for relaxation. So I do a lot of fiction.
It's funny. I'm going to do this little test. I'm going to go to Audible first thing, and I think I know what's on mine. I think my fiction for entertainment was Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that.
Which, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's long. And then I believe in my library. I'm going to profile. Haunt. Library. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius.
Mm. As in DM?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the guy, someone was saying. I'd read it. So, okay.
That's like going back.
Same actor played Dumbledore. You know, from Gladiator.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was such a good movie. Gladiator.
They're going to make it too.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. I read it.
Is it going to have same actor or no?
I don't know if he's going to be. I think he's in, but he's not like the Gladiator.
Yeah.
Usually those are
like his protege or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably won't be as good, but I'll probably still watch it.
Seriously, you guys have way better like reading choices than I do.
What are you reading?
Economic theory, space and time.
Okay.
Stephen Hawking. I like to read about string theory.
Dude, seriously?
All that stuff. Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. You look at the math. It's like, it's real.
Do you read Thomas Sowell?
Thomas Sowell. Okay, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm in the middle. I got 2 hours left of Black Rednecks, White Liberals. It's interesting. It is super interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, so much more. I guess the only fiction I really read are like, Tolkien works, you know. I tried Game of Thrones of the Silmarillion, you know, all this.
Reading it or watching it?
Reading it. And I just couldn't get into those.
But the Silmarillion is like...
It's a history book.
Yeah, That is deep.
I've never even heard of it. What is it?
It's J.R.R. Tolkien's other book besides The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and his other collective writings. It's his other big published one.
It was a bunch of like unpublished stuff, but it was all about the Middle Earth and the First Age.
Yeah, it's
so the, it's all make believe, but
it's the history and
as opposed to Lord of the Rings trilogy, which is real.
Yeah, because you got a New Zealand.
No, the rest of the stuff is all there. J.R.R. Tolkien did a lot of fan fiction for this stuff, you know.
Well, J.R.R. Tolkien was a very specific and a very special type of nerd in that he was not first and foremost a fantasy nerd. He was not first and foremost a sci-fi nerd. He was a language nerd. He loved linguistics. He loved language. He just
which is very apparent in his writings.
And
he
so
made an entire Elven language.
Yeah. Well, and that's not the most interesting thing to me. The most interesting thing is he made his own languages from a very young age. He made them. They were correct languages as far as how they were built, how he.
Oh, but he just made it up.
Yeah. How he quote unquote developed them. He made young languages. He made old languages and how they would have developed. It was fascinating to him.
Wow.
And then he had these languages and he says, I need something to do with these. So he wrote The Lord of the Rings.
So that was the umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah.
He
wanted a story to use his languages and he wanted a reason to have the languages.
He was listening to his kids babbling. You're like, well, this is a language right there.
Well, there's also a lot more to it because there was also the guy who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia.
C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. They were very good friends. C.S. Lewis wrote, very theologically, very, sound together.
Line of Witch of the War.
Yeah. They believed a lot of the same things, grew up a lot.
Fun fact about that. they love the banter, and they actually have a collection of the letters to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so Tolkien was a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, like, I would think he was Anglican.
Born again Christian.
Minimal differences, but they used to like to kind of banter about their works or just like personally among each other. It's really interesting.
So that when were they alive?
Well, 30s.
So that was the 1930s.
Yeah.
Equivalent of a text message with your homie.
Right.
Yeah. Sending letters like...
Well, and I forget who convinced who. I think it was C.S. Lewis convinced J.R.R. Tolkien to write The Lord of the Rings because he had already started writing The Chronicles of Narnia. And he wrote the entirety of the first draft of The Lord of the Rings because he was not a typist. He handwritten only because of his love of language. He typed the entirety of The Lord of the Rings with two fingers.
Dude.
Just because he wasn't a typist.
In case we forgot to intro today's thing, we were talking about... Oh, we did intro it.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, well, we left it. So this is super interesting because you're... It's almost like we've been talking on AT. I don't think I've seen you light up over the stuff you know versus what I'm seeing right now. That's pretty awesome.
I enjoy a fiction, fantasy. Yeah. I enjoy sci-fi.
I like the stories. Like you, like how'd they get there?
I enjoy storytelling. Storytelling is a great passion of mine. I played Dungeons & Dragons. I've been the dungeon master for my group for 8-10 years now.
Are you still playing it?
Yeah, still playing. We play remotely with all the old military guys.
I'm still waiting for my invitation.
Do you play it?
I would love to play it, but
you never have.
No. I can't find a good group. One that uses deodorant, and two, won't stop trying to steal from everybody, and they go on. I'm like,
well, we were
guys. I don't have time. I got kids. Can we do an adventure, please?
I was gonna do a Halloween one shot, but no one ever. Besides you, there wasn't enough interest in that. So future,
I'm still here.
So, what do you play?
No. I think I'll be good at it. I have enough hobbies and vices in my life. It's one of those things that I have to give up one, or just like it's too much time.
Yeah.
You know what everybody thinks I do? Everyone thinks I play golf because I'm a dentist because I'm Air Force.
Yeah.
And because knows every gun is a golf course.
Absolutely.
I'm like, I am not that kind of person. No,
I don't
play putt-putt, but I am not a golfer.
I hope you
play golf.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I played Division I golf.
I played what? Yeah,
what?
UC Davis for like 2 years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Before I transferred to William Jessup, yeah.
What year?
2007, 2008.
I did not know that. Do you still play?
Occasionally. Yeah, I kind of burnt out on it. You know, I was literally putting in the practice screen, and I'm like, it was like maybe 7 years ago. I'm like, no, I'm good. And I had to pack up my stuff. I used to practice like 30, 40 hours a week, not including playtime. So,
wow. Really?
Yeah, definitely burnout.
So you are, let me get this straight. You are obviously because of your profession and your training and stuff, you are a high level officer in the Air Force and you don't golf.
Right.
So I hope you
do. He's got things to do.
I hope you don't plan on promoting.
I'm gonna make it all the way, dude. I'm gonna be one star. I'm gonna be the Brigadier General Dentist.
Oh, there you go.
The dentist
of the dentist school.
That's right. The dental corps.
Yeah.
We're a corps, you know, we're cool.
Yeah.
We're gonna say that. I really love Caddyshack. That's about as close to golf as I get. I love Caddyshack.
I last about 9 holes, and then that's about when somebody says you want a beer, and then that's when I
yes, please.
That's when I start going full Happy Gilmore. I'll play series up about to 9, and then I'm like, okay. So I don't know. So go back to you don't play. I want to talk about Dungeons and Dragons. I do not know how it works. I don't. My understanding or assumption is what you see off of when they're playing and Stranger Things and all this.
And so, here's the thing. The game has blown up in popularity over the last 5-ish years because of Stranger Things.
I was going to say, I thought it would have gone the other way.
No. They did a very good job. I mean, that's what...
Of making it cool.
Stranger Things is horror D&D come to life. Huh. I mean, they basically they got the Mind Flayer and the Demigorgon.
Oh, so all of those are actual...
So, no, they're names taken from the game and given to different monsters, but technically the Demigorgon and the Mind Flayer are monsters in D&D. They're just not those ones.
No, right.
But, that's what I was asking. But, they're taken from it. Yeah,
so these kids with the time frame are playing either first edition or advanced D&D.
It was set in the 80s, so whatever was going on in the 80s, right?
Before my time, so I'm not sure exactly which one.
I would not.
So they're playing it back when it was not a taboo thing, but it definitely wasn't a cool thing.
Well, the perception was...
Satanic panic happened in late 80s, 90s.
Every good game starts with the ritualistic summoning of Satan. We draw the pentagram on everyone shares blood.
Like a good Friday night.
And then, you know, there's Cheetos and Mountain Dew and, you know, but do you think, were they making their own campaign or were they running a pre-made?
I've only seen the two seasons. I'm very behind on Stranger Things.
It's good.
Yeah, I know it's four. I have.
Yeah,
we'll get into it. I have very little time, especially for watching TV shows. Right. Again, we were talking about some of the things that help us in family life and stuff like that. I live in a household where when we get to watch TV, when we find the time, my wife and I both kind of prefer to watch things that are very relaxing. For her, that's shows that she's already seen, that she knows are comfort shows. And
Real Housewives of Utah?
No.
It's that woman, those people who work in a boat.
Below deck. Yeah. Just completely like, you guys are stupid.
more like Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, That 70s Show, things like that are very, very classic, feel good comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that.
I like to watch 100.
Which means that when it comes to shows that I want to watch that are more fast paced, more exciting, and stuff like that, it's typically special occasions or when I find time, I'm going to school full time now too, so it's very it's very limited on free time right now. So Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, I'm steering the truck back to Dungeons and Dragons.
Do you mind? Do I
go for it? Go. Right. I just want to know the premise and how it works.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Go ahead, Dungeon Master.
All right. So basically, you get a bunch of guys together or girls, traditionally guys. that is the thing. It is expanding rapidly. There was a show called Critical Role, which has millions of viewers. It was the first.
That's on Twitch, right?
It's on everything now. It's the first very successful live play where professional actors and voice actors play D&D and make it very entertaining. And they've made millions of dollars. They've made their own TV shows. It's very successful. And it's blown up in the public consciousness since then. It's become a thing that kids think is now cool. And therefore, it's grown in popular culture.
So the basis is you have a dungeon master, a.k.a. Ethan.
Yeah.
Hi. So
typically, they really need to have a good imagination. They're able to speechcraft. They're able to paint a scenario with their words, and you can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it, you know. So you got to be quick, got to be witty to be a dungeon master. And a lot of people will make their own campaign with like maps and everything, but they're pulling information from the main game. So there's like a monster book. There's a book of monsters. There's a second book of monsters, and then there's like the main rules, which everybody follows, you know, and depending on your class, you get X, Y, Z skills and everything. And hey, Adrian, wake up, man. Wake up.
Yeah, he's had to lick his lips like something tasty.
It's the easiest way that I describe it is that it's collaborative storytelling. And then you say you play Dungeons and Dragons just because that's the rules you agree to play by. So you can be, for example, right now, the game that I'm hosting every week is a mafia game. All the players have decided that
that's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep, they've decided that they want to be fantasy mobsters. Okay. So they have a mob family that they adhere to. Mm-hmm. There are certain rules that are within the family, and they are let loose in a city with rival families and everything like that. They decide, hey, this week we want to go steal something. Say there's this museum. We know there's cash in there. We want to go steal it. So it's my job as the dungeon master to have a map of a place, know who's in there, know the things about it that they could come up against. And then they go there. They decide what they want to do. Mm-hmm. They roll dice to figure out what the outcomes of their actions are. And it's a really good time. And it's collaborative storytelling in that as the DM, it's my job to set the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But as players, it's their job to figure out what their characters do. And it develops the world and develops the story. This is the sixth game, the sixth campaign over the last 10 years-ish that we've played inside the same world. and it's developed the pantheon, the history, the, the countries, all that's been changed and shaped by their decisions as we go through this.
So if there's 10 pockets, thing. 10 houses, and there's five of you in each house, so 50, their world is, everyone's world is different.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you make of it?
There are published campaigns that Wizards of the Coast, the company that, you know, publishes for Dungeons & Dragons and owns it, where they pre-make campaigns where it has maps, where it has, okay, they do this, then they go here, then they go here. It's all very set out. It's all very structured, and you can change it as the DM if you want.
Real quick.
Or there's completely homebrewed and you make it yourself.
Okay. I think the thing I'm missing, what's the objective? How do you win?
I
need to know about how you win, because then all that stuff will make sense.
Sometimes there is a... It depends. It changes.
All depending on the game.
You can decide how
It's one of those, like, it never ends.
I don't know that I could play that. How do you score a touchdown? Spike the ball and you're done?
With that in mind, you can also have a campaign that says, hey, the world's in danger. It's going to end. You need to stop it. Go.
Yeah, so Wizards of the Coast will have their own...
Sound like telephone, like you play
They'll
story.
Have their booklets, and then you run through it. And there is an end to the book, and it's a dragon, or it's an evil lich.
So you don't have to, like... kill the dragon or get the Uno card, or like the first one who gets all their cards gone wins.
Also, it's collaborative. It is cooperative. It is not each player against each other. Everyone is working together towards a goal.
To solve something.
Yeah. Or beat something.
Typically Dungeons & Dragons is very fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would think so. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you and your barbarian, but the gold wizard.
I know, that's what I'm like.
Okay, well, right now there's a freaking evil wizard who's terrorizing this town, and we got to go freaking take him out.
And it's also okay. The reason why it's so popular is that people also get out of it what they want. You can have a guy who sits there who loves the role play aspect, loves acting out the character and those social dynamics that get built and being intelligent and working their way through a social interaction to get what they want, sitting next to a guy who loves number crunching, has his sheet in front of him of his abilities and knows these are the steps I take to do the maximum damage, and I will beat this combat encounter because I know how to do the maximum damage, and that's what I contribute to my team. You get five guys that may all play the game for different reasons, all going towards a similar goal, and it just works.
You should see a spreadsheet.
I have so many spreadsheets, it is not even funny.
About what? Because if you came after me on that, and I'd be like, no, in my world, that doesn't work.
Because as the DM,
I win.
Setting everything up, I have spreadsheets of all the people within the town, of each district, different key buildings. And it's important as a DM not to have everything laid out. So that when they go into a district and say, hey, is there a bank here? I go to my list and say, yes, there's a bank. It is called, out of my list of bank names, it's called this. And I just put it on the map. So you don't have to plan out everything, but you have to have resources that you can call to, because the players never do what you want them to do or what you think they're going to do.
So because of the profession you're in, which is very finite.
Yep.
It either works or it doesn't. You got to solve it. right. Does doing these type of games... I mean, yours too, right? With the medical, dental, right? It's very fine. Your teeth work or they don't, right? Or something's right.
That's true.
Does this satisfy the creative itch? Does it just kind of allow you to go?
Like I said before, I have a passion for storytelling. I love stories, books, movies with great plots, well-written characters, development. And so when you have a system where you can chill with your friends, drink some beer, and build a story together, it really does. Yeah, it satisfies that itch. It's a great time.
I know what you're saying. You're more of like objective. What's the objective? Let's take the objective.
Yeah, tactile. I'm strategic because I want to get to the end and win. Like you spike the ball. Like that's what you do.
Yeah. So like you know.
And I can't tell you how many people that is exactly how they come into the game thinking.
Does it mess with them? They're like, what?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And then
it all depends on the dungeon master. You might have one who's like, okay, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. And so how do you do it? And it's up to the players. So I am very much objective based. That's why I play certain types of video games. And so games like online games like Counter-Strike or Call of Duty, you know, Unknown Battlegrounds, Fortnite. Those games are really they're fun for a little bit, but I know that I'll never be the best. And I'm like, okay, maybe those games to me aren't interesting. I need an ending First of all, I need a game with a pause button, because if you have little kids running around, you can't
for
say,
sure.
Honey, I'm in the dungeon. Wait, okay, I'll be for right there.
Sure. Leroy Jenkins.
exactly. So games for me, I like the single player story driven, because I like stories, and real life kind of, you know, I'm not a traveler. I see people who are like on blogs, like, oh, my travel blog. And for me, you could just keep that.
Homebody.
You can, because I'll see a picture of like Mount Rushmore, and the people who go to Mount Rushmore say, God, it's so small.
What do you say? I was sitting there and I'm like,
So in my mind, I have Mount Rushmore, and Mount Rushmore is freaking huge. And so you're in my keep mind, it that way. Right. So I want to go places that I can't ever go.
And no one else can tell you you're
right.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm like, you know, I'm playing Diablo 4 right now, which is, you know, iffy.
Yeah, season 2.
That's why I like movies like that. I don't like to go and be scared, think about my kids, worry about abduction or whatever. I like to see raccoons that talk. And
have you tried playing Hogwarts?
I did. I played the Hogwarts game. And, you know, it's so funny. I love talking about the Hogwarts game, because it's a fifth year. And I don't know typically what age a fifth year is at Hogwarts, but my God, there was a lot of murder for a student. That student was murdering.
15.
Actually, 15. Yeah. At 15, a mass murderer of, you know, they were bad guys, but my God, a lot of murder.
Well, you know.
That
some
was
people a, have an appetite.
That was a game that.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
I don't think that game actually figured out what it wanted. It wanted to be like for little kids, but the kids who grew up with Harry Potter are now older, and they wanted something maybe a little bit darker.
Oh, do you say Hogwarts? That like legit? That
that's the whole game.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, and they kill in it?
Oh, that's not there's a lot of killing. And then there's quote rescuing these animals, which is basically you're taking them and putting them into your own magical enclosure. So we're rescuing them. And then we
small cage and big cage.
And then we harvest things from them. We give them food, they get happy, and then we take a feather. And then we use that feather to make better items. And I'm like, oh, this is so cringy. They should have figured out what kind of game they wanted to make.
Wow.
They wanted to do everything all at once. And they, it was.
Yeah. So what's your house?
I'm Hufflepuff.
Okay.
What are you?
Ravenclaw.
I feel like I'm not even on the same level as
you're,
you guys.
You're Gryffindor, I would say.
Yeah. Are they dorks?
No. They're stupidly courageous.
Courageous, the
they'll
jock.
Just run into it.
If they fell into a high school archetype, it'd be the jock, the
popular whatever. That garrison is
that's
spicy.
Good.
It is. It's got a punch.
It literally is like Texas bottle.
Yeah. I could see that. You'd use that in a brine maybe of like a brisket or something.
It punches you in the face. I love it.
I know. Well, hey, while we're getting a refill here, my battery's about dead, so we'll be right back. And we are back from our refill break, and we are going to do a very cool trick.
Cool trick, cool trick!
I think we did this on like episode 2 or 3. It was very early on. It might not have even been recorded.
I don't think it was.
No.
Probably not.
No.
So it's kind of you're gonna put a little bit of bourbon onto your hand. All right.
That's legit. That's some Wolford.
Oh my God. Okay.
Just a tiny little bit.
Just
I was gonna say, you want my straw?
Got it. No.
Tap it in.
I'm gonna rub my hands together.
You rub it, yeah. Okay, when you start to hear get a little warm, I want you to kind of smack your hands together. And then what do you smell?
My hands.
You've got all the chemicals from the dentist's office. It smells like corn. Or
God,
maybe you didn't get enough.
I have a super sniffer too, so it smells like sweet. Doesn't smell like bread. Did you come up with bread?
No, I did, because we did it like 2 times.
Yeah,
I remember going.
The harder you get, and what you do is actually it's the reverse of the distillation.
I got a Mr. Miyagi of this.
All right.
I'll try it again.
Well, okay. All right, I got a little bit more that time. Did you know that during the pandemic, all of our our hand sanitizer stuff smelled like vodka, like big pot.
Basically the same. Weren't a lot of distilleries
they were. That's why a lot of them smelled like vodka. Yeah. They were running out of supply. They had to get their supply from distilleries.
Kind of like rye bread? Is there any rye in this?
Like rye bread.
So you got to the second state. That's the second grain. So you got a little warmer.
I did.
Yeah. So you think so those corn, the last thing you'll smell is the malted barley, which has that bread.
Miyagi!
Mm-hmm. So you just waxed on.
I did. Later on, when you
get
home,
get waxed on.
Adrian just brought us something amazing. Huh. He brought us some Rip Van Winkle, old Rip Van Winkle.
Old Rip Van Winkle. Jr., yeah.
Mm. Not Pappy.
It wasn't planned. It was kind of impromptu, but.
What's Pappy? Pappy is 15 years?
Pappy Van Winkle, that line starts at 15, but it's the same. It's the same thing.
Same juice, different
same,
age.
Yeah. Same juice.
And then Tyler, what did you do to it? You added what?
I had 2 drops of water.
What did it do?
Just 2. For me, because everybody's palate's different, it made it sweeter for some reason.
Adrian, why is that?
That's my tongue. It's my skin muscle.
Well,
yes, there is epithelial skin on top of your tongue, by the way. I looked it up.
It's added dilution. So it's like, you know, think of it like when you're a cocktail, like if you have an old fashioned with the cube,
mm-hmm.
right?
Efforts towards the end
strong,
of it.
It's kind of, you have all the big boldness, and by the end of there, the last third, and it's like sweet.
Yeah.
So you just get more of those secondary and tertiary notes.
I must drink my old fashions way too quick.
You pound them. You're like, I haven't tasted any of that.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. Well, if you would make your old fashions a little bit less delicious,
yeah.
I would last longer with them.
You know what it's like to shoot $18.50.
So I actually just bought a custom. I have a custom logo my sister designed for me, and I'm getting a stamp made so I can stamp.
There you go.
I have a Death Star ice cube maker.
Oh yeah, those are the little silicone things. Rad.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is bullets.
Death Star.
There I you like go. Bullets.
Yep.
Ice.
Oh, Adrian, you asked me an interesting question about like the whole Sonic ice. Is it good for your teeth? Yeah, it's way better.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a lot of ice chewers. I don't know why.
Ice is that what you call your kids?
Ice chewers.
Yeah. Some people call them window lickers. I don't know. It's ice chewers.
Patients, they love chewing on ice, but they don't like the dentistry that follows ice chewing. So I'm like, you got to get Sonic ice or Taco John's ice. Taco John's? Have you heard of Taco John's?
I have not heard of
that's
Taco
That's a Texas
John's.
Thing. That's definitely gotcha. Texas.
That's great advice to give here in California, then. I'm sure that goes a long way with your patients.
It does. I'm like, then I got to describe what Taco John's is. It's like, Sonic. Just Sonic. So, yeah, we got a Sonic ice maker at home.
We have one in the office, too.
Actually, we have one, too. That's what I just brought out. It's got the little hole in it, the ice.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's different types. There's the ones with the hole in the middle, and it's like the cylinder. Then there's the one that's just the tiny little chunks.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Oh, Sonic guys. Yeah. The chewy ones. Oh, that looks like something off of Dungeons & Dragons.
That's like Zodiac Killer left that.
Yeah.
Adrian's showing us his, that's your logo? What is it? What does it mean?
AV. So it's AV. It's just kind of a play on my initials. Oh. Yeah.
Mm.
Wait, show me that again.
But you actually stamp the ice.
Yeah.
Right when it goes in.
So you're branding your ice?
Yeah, because I used to make
Oh, that's pretty good, dude.
I cut my own blocks of ice. I make clear ice.
Why?
So it takes all the impurities. It melts a lot slower. It looks cool.
Some people, like with the rubber one, they'll put a tiny hole enough, and then it'll drip, and all the impurities will go out, and you have this just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my wife just got one of those, too. I like using those, but if I make bigger cubes, because it's a finite size, right, from the mold. But sometimes I want to do, like, 3-inch by, like, 3-inch cubes, like monster cubes. So usually you have to make a block out of that.
And then you're like, you cut it into a diamond?
Freaking Slurpee cup?
Really?
No. 3-inch by 3-inch? That's a huge
block. Well, a lot of modern glasses do, like that one right there.
Is that 3-inch?
That'll fit 3-inch by 3-inch.
Oh, damn.
Okay. I've seen them cut it into like a diamond, and they're like, "Oh, it makes it taste so much better." Is it true?
I like my ice in a 6-inch cylinder while I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my god!
Good thing we're not recording this.
He would totally be a bard.
Well, you know.
A bard?
A bard, yeah.
Well, B-A-R-D?
Yeah, B-A-R-D.
What's a bard?
Like in that one show at Superman, right? Superman show? The Witcher?
The Witcher?
Oh, yeah. Dandelion. Yeah. So a bard is a spellcaster, a full spellcaster that is charisma based.
It buffs the party. Yeah, it's things better.
It's arguably the strongest class in D&D, but it's also the one that people don't like to play because it's you cast magic through performance, either through music or something along those lines. So it has a very iffy feel.
But like, the joke is the bard has sex with everyone.
Yeah, it is a charisma focused character. So very, very good in social interactions. And the
dragons.
The archetype is that you are
kobolds.
Very horny. is the archetype.
Minotaurs.
Whatever.
whereas the wizard is studious and the barbarian is.
I don't say YOLO anymore. You'll tee. Where did we leave off? We talked about the point of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
and how you guys. But so it can go on forever. And there's these characters.
Yeah, my longest campaign went on for about a year and a half. We played every week, and it was just a storyline that continued.
That's exhausting.
Do you make up characters?
It is. Yes. Oh, yeah. It is exhausting.
The vast majority of my work is creating, either creating dungeons, creating characters, creating combat encounters.
For
the payoff of the 2 to 6 hours of actual gameplay where my players can experience it.
Is there a prize?
Is there a point?
High fives.
That I will say there is a feeling of satisfaction and accomplishment.
When you solve something, it's risk, or you're going to go and...
But there's no like hundo is being thrown away.
If you would like to help support... And
if you're a bard, there's hundo.
If you would like to sponsor my next Dungeons & Dragons game, there could be hundos thrown around. Yeah.
So did you create these characters? Like, did someone say, I'm going to create something like a...
There are general guidelines.
Bard, yeah. And then you as Dungeon Master...
No.
You as the player
creates whatever character you want.
You choose your race, certain races can be certain classes. So Bard is a class, just like Barbarian or Cleric.
Fighter, Wizard, Rogue. There's a lot of different options.
Certain races can be...
Fifth edition, it's opened up a lot. Any race can be any character,
which is the way it should be. I see that
Dungeons and Dragons going woke.
Yes, no, legitimately yes.
Oh,
so you
sorry for that out loud.
That's no, kind there's, of the way World of Warcraft was at first. Like certain races, could be paladin.
So used to be that like paladin, for example, was very restricted as a class and. You could only be certain races as certain classes and things like that. Nowadays,
could you imagine a dark elf as a paladin?
Yes.
Oh well, I mean, you have to.
Shit up, in make believe, and there's woke.
Well, here, make believe. Here's the thing. It's arguable.
Can be anything, brother.
It's arguable. Brother. The thing that they're changing is things like ability scores. Whereas, for example, it used to be, if you wanted to play an orc. One of the draws of the orc is that you get like a +2 strength and a +1 to your constitution or something. I don't know the top of my head, but you get bonuses based on your race. Now what people are calling woke is they're like, you can assign those bonuses to anything because there are orcs, we're sure, that are skinny and lean and very fast. It's not just this archetype of if you're an orc, you're strong.
Right.
And so things like that have changed. And a lot of people are calling that woke when it's really just a change of game design to be more open.
What do you usually play? What's your
he doesn't
class?
Play.
So that's
he's the narrator.
Yeah.
You don't play?
He's I'm the guy. Can so I play. I hey.
Shut up, everybody.
Yeah, I like dude, talking. What to you?
Really, this is literally in between tickets or in between like support. This is exactly what eight-hour work day.
Really?
Yeah. Well, did he tell you about his lightsabers that he has at the office?
I do. I do have lightsabers at the office. But I went to Disney World a few years ago and got some Darth Maul lightsabers.
And you made one? You made them?
Well, no. I just have the Darth Maul lightsabers I bought from Disney World. I brought them to the office because I thought, hey, I can put these on the wall, and I just have it.
You don't want to pay extra to make them. You don't want the quality's not.
Yeah. Yeah. But. Yeah, I do have those at the office. But
Tyler is on D&D Beyond. You should make a character. I want to see what kind of character he would
I know. I'm trying to look at him to see. Okay, I'd be a human.
It. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah.
Human detail tiefling? Yeah, so as a bard, you screw all these?
Oh, brother.
This bugbear looks...
Gnarly. That's a monster race.
Oh, it's a monster.
Which you can play, but it's technically a monster. Yeah, there's
Dragonborn. You can be a dragonborn.
These two look like...
the Avatar, the Na'vi.
Yeah, the Genasi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, Genasi.
Yeah, that's how good he is. Elder. That's how I'm not that in tune. I just want to play. I have not played.
Well, see, and the thing about me is I want to play. I enjoy character creation. I like making characters. I like multi-classing and figuring out broken builds and stuff like that. But as a DM, I don't get to be a player. So I make these characters and I put them into the world. So they're the NPCs that the players interact with. And I get to have, so I get to scratch that itch that way. Yes.
Yeah. And a referee. Yes. As a referee.
Does that make you feel powerful?
It does. Absolutely.
What does that say about like his everyday life? Like you have to have control of yourself. I'm going to create this whole world.
I feel uncomfortable reading into this anymore.
Yeah.
Did you ever read Ready Player One?
I have
not. Oh, dude, that movie's so dope.
That is so good.
Don't talk to me about the movie.
As a nerd who enjoys reading.
Totally different than the book. Did you read Ready Player One?
I should probably get it then.
I read nonfiction other than Harry Potter. And
all right. So Ernest Cline, this was his first book.
Yeah.
Right out the gate. And it was a montage to the 80s.
Yeah.
No, but the book is like a billion times better.
Really?
Says everyone who's ever read a book and then had a movie adaptation.
Well, then, I mean, that would make sense that Spielberg was the one that did it.
It should have been at least three goddamn movies, or at least two.
Oh, really? That's how big it was?
No, it was huge, dude.
And very in-depth.
No, it was very in-depth. Yeah. There were so many IPs that he tapped into. There was just no way you could make a movie on that because they wouldn't make money.
Which is why I'm really excited. For that 10-year plan for the Harry Potter reset.
Oh, with HBO Max?
We'll see.
A lot of people hate the idea.
We need a good book adapted show because they have shown that.
I have one.
What?
Dune.
The recent one was really good.
I read that book before I watched.
Is the part two coming out?
Like it is. Yeah. I read that book in anticipation of the movie because I was like, I like sci-fi.
The new one.
Okay, I really like sci-fi. I've never read this. It's always been on my list. Let's knock it out. One of the best crafted worlds. And there's a reason for that. He neglected his family while he wrote those books. But still, like, it's a very well-crafted and very good book. And they did it very well. It is one of the closest movie to book adaptations I've ever seen.
Yeah. 100%.
Which is great props to the creators of that movie. It was so well adapted.
Way better than the 80s one.
Patrick Stewart.
I remember watching that as a kid and I was just like, wow, the worms.
I bought the Toto soundtrack. I saw the soundtrack by Toto.
I didn't even know they did that.
Oh, yeah. Toto did the whole thing, dude. Gosh. They did the whole thing. It was amazing. Yeah, but That was audio. That was another audiobook that I listened to. Dune, and then
I'm gonna have to get Dune. How long is it?
Children of Dune.
It's long. I will say it's one that throws you in the deep end. There are fantasy and sci-fi books that the beginning of the book is like backstory. It explains things as it does not.
You go straight in.
It doesn't explain what things are.
It's like Star Wars.
You understand what things are through context. Right. It says, we'll see this person, and it gives no context as to who that person is. But when they kill someone in the next scene, you're like, oh, that's a warrior. That's a title for a type of warrior. Things like that.
So you really have to think.
It's an entertainment. I loved it. Once you start getting immersed and stuff, it is fantastic.
And the characters are great.
I started the third book.
It goes down. The second book was good. Everything after Dune Messiah is...
Yeah.
Dune Messiah was great. It's kind of like Orson's Ender's Game.
Don't even get me started on Ender's Game,
I fucking love Ender's Game. It was my favorite book forever.
We're doing Ender's Game.
But it's kind of that thing where
Is that another game?
It's another
Scott Card.
So real quick, to finish my thought, it's kind of like those series are similar in that the first book, revolutionary, amazing. It was... panned to a very specific audience and it broke through to all the other audience. It was great. Second book, it was a complete change of tone. And if you liked that change of tone, you'll like the rest. If you did not, don't bother. With Ender's Game, the first one reads like a young adult fiction, but it is
coming of age story, but it is so deep.
It is such a good story with the, I will hold this opinion to my dying day, the best plot twist ever written.
100%.
And this is
Ender's Game by Orson Scott
Card. Yeah, no, I see. Is it, and this is part of Dune?
No,
but this is a whole, fair, oh, okay.
But
it's just that movie with Harrison Ford.
We don't talk about Ender's the movie. Game. You,
oh man. But
thank
it's
you
that
for the Rip Van Winkle.
But hey, you understood at that point.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing where the second book,
Speaker
of the Dead, completely different tone. It changed
terrible.
from a good action fiction to a political intrigue book, which is fine. If you want political intrigue in a sci-fi setting, great. Read the next 10. If you don't, you are gonna fall asleep. But
did you 21 ever... hours to read Dune?
Yeah, it's a long book.
Holy crap.
Did you ever read Ender's Shadow?
Oh my God, that was the best.
It was even better than the
that
first.
Was
in
way
my
better.
Opinion. It was
oh
way better
my
than
God.
The first.
Yeah, sorry about Bean.
So yeah,
Ender's
Bean.
Game.
Ooh,
I
so
have
good.
Read that book. Read, not listened to. I've read that book at least 30 times.
Yeah.
No joke. That's the kind of book that I buy and I ask people if they've read it. And if they haven't, I give them the book.
Yeah.
And then I buy another copy.
It
and
is.
Then I give them the book.
I have not read the
buy
book.
Buy
it's
you, hey, come by
so
the
good.
Office. Come by the office. I will give you my copy.
It is a fantastic book.
I read it in high school first time. Like the first two chapters, like, and lunch period was over. I'm like, holy crap. That's amazing. Dude, seriously. It is incredible.
There's another book series I read very recently. I'm about halfway through. Similar feeling got me hooked in the same way. Red Rising?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Read it.
Red Rising.
I will talk to you about it after this podcast. You
gotta
need to read it.
Well, speaking of that, I just realized what time it was.
What time is it?
5 o'clock. I got to go to football.
Oh, football.
See what happens
playoffs.
When we talk about things that we actually like. No.
Kidding, in addition to solving IT problems.
Right. Kidding.
No, but we'll come back to this because this is super interesting. I'm actually intrigued on going to one of y'all's D&D just to
I'm
learn
gonna,
and do it. You know?
I'm probably going to set up a one shot. We'll invite you. We'll have the guys from the
office.
I have
it
much
here.
More of a open mind of those kind of
things. We should have it here.
We could.
There's plenty of room for
Sam. I already told Ethan I'll bring meat and we'll have some biking.
All right. Yeah, we'll set it up.
We'll just have everybody watch us outside the garage and fall off.
As the DM, the thing that I am most interested in before I schedule one shot is player interest. There's officially enough people to play. So yeah, let's get it.
Oh my God.
He's getting excited.
Oh my
is
God.
Is this going to happen?
It's totally going to happen.
That's rad. All right, you guys. Thank you for coming. We will see you on next episode of Whiskey and Wine.
Peace.
Peace.